Hey, everybody, I'm Matthew Ilaria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Now, we're coming to you again today from inside the sanctuary of North Smoke Church. Now, last time on the broadcast, we started airing a message called The Chastisement of Our Peace. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be focusing on the great price that Jesus paid so that you and I could enjoy peace in this life and beyond. You know, everything He did, from His birth to His life to His crucifixion to His death to His resurrection, He did all of that so that you and I could enjoy peace, so that we could prosper, and so that we could do well. Praise the Lord. I know you're going to enjoy part two of this message. Let's watch now.
Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Praise God.
Praise
we weren't doing well, but we're doing better now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We're doing better now. Isaiah 53, and this is the, I think it was early this week. I think it's my day off. It was Monday. I hadn't even really started studying or thinking about the Easter service. And I had this phrase come up in my heart, the chastisement of our peace. Just came in my heart. I didn't think much of it. I thought maybe that's what I'm supposed to minister on for the Easter service. And it was Monday, so I didn't really think about it. And then when I started preparing for the service, I went to this verse first that talks about the chastisement of our peace being on Jesus. And I wanted to read some verses here in verse 3. We won't read all of the every verse. We won't need to today. But it says in verse 3 that He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Verse 4 says, surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5, He was bruised for our iniquities. And here's that phrase, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Verse 6 says, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity or the punishment of us all. Verse 7 says, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Verse 8 says, He was cut off from the land of the living. It said, for the transgression of my people He was stricken. Verse 9 said, He made His grave with the wicked. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. You might underline that, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Verse 12 says, He poured out His soul unto death. Now, Jesus, essentially, what happened is, He was in heaven doing just fine. Jesus is an eternal being. So His spirit, He's in heaven with the Father, and mankind had a problem that it couldn't solve, right? Had no answer for this. So Jesus, our great Savior, I like to say it like this, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, Jesus was the first Rambo.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, He came into the earth by Himself. You ever seen Rambo? I'm not supposed to talk about Rambo on Easter, I guess, but you ever seen Rambo? Rambo defeats a whole army, but just Rambo, right? Doesn't matter. I mean, they got bad guys coming for Rambo never runs out of bullets. Rambo kills them all. He's the hero, Rambo.
Yes.
So Jesus was actually the first Rambo. Because we had a problem.
Yeah.
He's in heaven, and of His own will, Father didn't make Him. He chose, I'll go. And then He took on flesh and blood. And you have to imagine what kind of fall that must have been when you start off as a spiritual being, limitless, no limits, no aging, no weakness, and then you put this on in its fallen state. Puts on flesh and blood. Goes to, lives His life, doesn't sin, resist temptation, then goes to the whipping post for the scourging. This would have been the thorns, the cat-o'-nine-tails, spit, mocked, all this. Isaiah talked about in 52:13, I believe it is, that he was marred to the point where he didn't even resemble a human being. That's how bad the suffering was. So you would have looked at him and he didn't even look like a person at that point. Marred, scourged, crucified, and then left his body, went to hell. He was made sin for us. Scripture talked about him being made sin for us. He became sin for us, became a curse for us. Is this something little we're talking about?
No.
He's going to great lengths. But why? Why do all this? This is what we're getting into today. We're not going to talk so much about what or how, but why? And it's in that verse, and put verse 5 back up there. It's right there in that verse. Verse 5, Isaiah 53, 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. It's right here. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He did all of that for your peace. That's why he did it. All of this was about your peace. My peace. That's what it's about. Isn't that what Scripture says? The punishment. The word chastised means the punishment, the Amplified Bible says, that was required for our peace. See, somebody has to pay for sin. Somebody has to pay.
That's right.
And so if we want to enjoy peace, somebody's got to pay. And so he said, I'll pay. And so the punishment for our peace, it was on him. This was all about our peace. Can you say thank you, Lord? Now, this word peace here, let me read this to you out of some other translations. The Amplified Bible says, the punishment required for our well-being fell on him. That's a good translation of the word peace, our well-being. Well, what did we say before? Man wasn't doing well before Jesus. And he wants us to do well. Does God like it when things go well for you?
Yes.
Apparently so. God's Word translation says he was punished so that we could have peace. What's all this about? This is all about your peace. Now, do we got those slides back there? I wanted to look up. Let's put that slide up there. Now, I want to show you this because people don't believe you sometimes when you preach. You guys do, of course. But if you look up the word peace in the Hebrew, and the reason that matters is because the Bible wasn't written in English. Hello. English is the second, an additional translation, that's not the right word. The English was an additional translation besides the original. The original is Hebrew. So somebody took it out of Hebrew and put it into English for us. And so they picked the words that they used. And so I want to skip somebody doing that for you, and I want to show you what the word means in Hebrew.
Yes.
And the word peace in Hebrew, this is right out of Strong's. It means, and this is, the reason it looks so weird is because it's right out of a concordance. But just look at some of the words. Safe, well, happy, welfare, health, prosperity. Oh, gosh, I just cussed. Prosperity. Are you reading the meeting right here?
Yes.
And some of them starts to repeat it, repeat itself. But what are some of the words? Safe, well, happy, welfare, healthy, prosperity. Jesus came for this reason.
Yes.
This is why he was punished. So why? So that you could be happy?
Yes.
Oh, no. We don't preach that happy, healthy, wealthy stuff around here. Then you don't preach the word. Because he was punished for your happy, healthy, wealthy prosperity. Now just keep listening to the whole thing. This is why he was punished. I'm reading scriptures.
Yes, that's right.
Reading scriptures. The punishment for our this was on him. Can you say amen? Now just hang around. Don't turn me off yet. Let me preach the whole message before you decide if you like it or don't like it. Put Psalm 22, 6, 7 on the screen. We'll come back to that slide in a second. Here's a definition of peace that you get right from the scripture. Psalm 122, verse 6. I don't have that on my notes. It says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What are we praying for?
Peace.
That they shall prosper that love Jerusalem. Now look at verse 7. This is what we're going to pray. We're praying for peace. Peace be within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. So what's peace mean according to the scriptures? Peace is synonymous with prosperity. Now that's just scriptural. If you don't like Strong's, certainly you like Psalms. They kind of sound alike, Psalms and Strong's. If you don't like that and Strong, certainly you have to like this. It said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is what you pray, peace in their walls, prosperity in their palaces. Now, don't get mad about prosperity. Here's another thing. Prosperity doesn't mean money. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of ignorant, highly degreed theologians that think prosperity means money. It doesn't mean money. There's nowhere in here that it says prosperity means money. Prosperity means to do well.
Yes.
And yes, if you live on this earth, you'd like to do well in your finances. Right? I'm going to calm down. It's Easter. But prosperity doesn't mean money. Prosperity means to do well. That's what it means if you look that word up. In fact, go back to it because this word, the word prosperity, put that Hebrew back up there. In that Hebrew definition, that word shalom is the same word when the scripture says God takes pleasure in your prosperity. That's the same word, Hebrew word, takes pleasure in your shalom. And it means, what's one of the first words up there? Well. Because when you're prospering, you're doing well. Right? And God valued your peace so much that Jesus went through all of that so that you could have some. God values your prosperity that much that Jesus left heaven, came to the earth, took on flesh and blood, lived a sinless life, was scourged, beat, broken, marred to where it didn't look like a man, was crucified, went to hell, defeated hell, became sin, became a curse, rose from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father for your prosperity, for your peace.
Amen.
And you got people who will build their whole Christian ministry on God doesn't care about your prosperity. Looks to me like he cares. You having it was worth him giving up his life so you could have it. Looks to me like he values it. And if you don't believe that, let's look at a verse, Psalm 35, 27. Psalm 35, 27 says this, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Anybody in here, that's you. Anybody in here favor God and what God's about? That's you, right?
Yes.
Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified,
yes,
which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
Amen.
God likes it when his people are doing well.
Yes.
And when mankind wasn't doing well, God didn't like it. He didn't like it at all.
No.
Right? I mean, it dawned on me one day. Couldn't God have just let us be after man sinned?
Yeah.
Couldn't he have just said, well, I'm done. On to the next. I'm going to go start over here. I can create all this new. I can create all this over again. And we can just start over and just leave them to the devil. Just leave it to them.
Yeah.
Huh? Why didn't he do that? He doesn't like it when things aren't going well for us. If you believe the scriptures. Because this says he takes pleasure in your prosperity. Now, religion, a lot of people in religion circles have rewritten this and says, he takes pleasure in your suffering. Oh, I know you're struggling with that sickness right now, but God likes it. He's getting pleasure out of that. If God's getting so much pleasure in people struggling, why are people praying to not struggle? If God likes it, just eat the struggle. Don't pray to get rid of it. If it pleases him, don't pray for it to go. Pray for more of it to come. People don't even believe what they say they believe. If you really want to please God and you think struggle pleasing him, then you better get your tail to struggling. God doesn't get any pleasure in that. Do you have people on this earth that you love?
Yes.
Love dearly?
Yes.
You ever had somebody close to you that was struggling?
Yes.
Did it please you?
No.
Then why would it please him? It doesn't. He gets no pleasure in that. That's not who he is. Don't believe the devil's lies and religion's idea of what God gets pleasure in. Mm-mm. He takes pleasure. Let's just take him at his word. Yes. He said in his word, he likes it when you're doing well.
Yeah, that's right.
So he likes it when you're doing well inside, doesn't he? When your spirit's strong and you're becoming more like him and you're full of love and full of faith, God goes, I like it. And if you haven't been to church in 6 months and you don't read your Bible and you don't pray and your spirit's weak and you're not growing and you're not developing, God goes, I don't like that. Right? And if you walk in here today and you had a smile on your face and had some joy in your heart and some peace and you were happy and, you know, God goes, I like it. Soul's intact.
Yeah.
And if a person's crippled down with depression and anxiety and fear, it's not that God doesn't like them. He doesn't like it that they're not doing well. He goes, no, I don't like that. He say amen to this? Same thing in your body. Got some healing in your body. And you might be believing for some healing today in some areas. And that's, you know, but if something doesn't work, God doesn't like it. He doesn't get any pleasure in something not working. Something not being healed. You know what he likes? He likes all the parts that are working right. So I like that. I like that. I like now this over here. We need to do some praying and believing. But I like all these. That's what he gets pleasure in. And if you go home at night and you're able to, you know, if you're married, you know, you kiss your spouse on the cheek and you guys love each other and there's no strife and there's peace between you, God goes, I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. Hmm? But if you got strife and division and there's tension between you and you're mad because he leaves the socks inside out and she's mad because you don't take her out on a date, God goes, do not like it. Because they're not doing well. And then if we open up your accounts and there's, you know, red numbers and negative this and negative that and you're struggling to pay a bill and stuff, God goes, I don't get any pleasure in this. But if you have more than enough to do what he calls you to do and able to give and sow and help and be a blessing, God goes, I like it. I like it. I like this. This I like.
Yeah.
Now that may seem simple to you. There are millions of Christians all over the planet that are confused about those truths. And I'm telling you, the reason why Jesus did all this was for your well-being.
Yes.
The chastisement of your peace was on him. Because you weren't doing well, and he didn't like it. So he came so that you and I could do well. Can you say amen to that? Go with me to, praise God. Where does the time go? Go with me. Let me cut this down. Isaiah 48. You can hang out there for a second. Say that with me. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. Now, people say, well, he did it because he loved me. Why did Jesus? Because he loved me. That's true. But 3 John 2 says this, beloved, I'm changing that word wish. It's not a good translation. I pray, beloved, are you listening? 3 John 2, beloved, I pray. Now, this is John writing to Gaius by inspiration of the Spirit. Beloved, I pray. Above all things, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You can't separate love from prosperity. Because when you love someone, you want to see them doing well.
Yes.
You can't separate those two. Well, I love you, but I don't care if you're hurting and struggling. Then you don't love me. Or how about this? I love you, but you're hurting, but it's making me happy to see you hurt. I'm getting some pleasure out of it. I got people all over the room making dirty looks at me, shaking their head. That's what a lot of the church believes about God. I love you, but here hurt a little while. No, he hurt because he didn't want you hurting. The chastisement of your peace was upon him.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 8:9 says that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. In every area doing well. That's what rich means. Every area doing well. Right?
Yeah.
He became poor, broken down, decayed, beat, scourged, mocked, died, sinned, the curse. He became poor so you could have some peace.
Yeah.
So you could be rich. That's what he's interested in. And if you love somebody, you want to see them doing well. And so God, you know, God has a thing about this peace stuff. Say peace.
Peace.
Romans 10:15 said this about the gospel. It said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now that's the New Testament word. That's a Greek word, peace. So it's not Hebrew, it's Greek. Put that slide up there. Let's look at the second slide. That word peace in the New Testament in the Greek means similar to the shalom. But when you see that word gospel of peace, look what the word peace means. Peace, by implication, prosperity. Prosperity, the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Peace means prosperity. So the gospel of... No, that couldn't be right. The gospel of what?
Prosperity.
Now, do you know how hard the devil has worked to use this term of prosperity gospel and make it something negative?
Yes.
You think that's not strategic? And people that are against it, they only think prosperity gospel means preachers that talk about money. They don't know what they're talking about. Am I losing anybody?
No.
We're looking at scriptures and Greek definitions. And you still want to believe some ignorant guy on the internet? I'm sticking with the word. The gospel of what? Peace. But what's peace mean?
Prosperity.
Prosperity. So the gospel is the good news that God wants you to do well.
Right.
Yes.
And of course, it centers on your eternity doing well. That's the center of it. Because if you go to hell, you ain't going to be doing well.
No.
And that rhymed by accident. You're not doing well in hell. And so God didn't like that. And so the good news, part of the good news is if you come to the Lord and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your wellness is secured for eternity.
Yes.
You're going to enter into a state of well-being when you leave your body. Isn't that the gospel?
Yes.
Is heaven good?
Yes.
Are you going to do well in heaven?
Yes.
Is hell bad?
Yes.
Is anybody going to do well down there?
No.
Sounds like the gospel's about doing well.
Amen.
Now, come on. It's the gospel of peace. What's it mean? It means
prosperity.
I'm going to keep saying it. I know people use it wrong. Somebody's got to stand up and say it right.
That's right.
And so you do a search on the internet when you get home. Don't read any of the junk. You just type in prosperity gospel. There's not one positive thing that pops up about it. A bunch of mad guys just talking about people that, you know, preach about having finances and stuff. The gospel was God saying, without me, you ain't going to do well.
Right.
And I get pleasure in you doing well. So why don't you come and follow me and accept me as your Lord and Savior? Because if you do, you can do well.
Yeah.
That's prosperity.
Yeah.
Any way you slice it. The gospel of peace. That's what the gospel is. And then God, he's got this thing about peace. In Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts I think to you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace.
Yes.
Other translations say plans of peace.
Yes.
God's got peace. He's got peace on his mind for you.
Yes.
It's the gospel of peace. He's got plans of peace. And then, Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know what his name is going to be called? The Prince of Peace. And how about his rule and his government? Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and his peace, there's not going to be any end to it. God's into this prosperity stuff.
Yes, he is.
Prosperity, you doing well. He's into this peace stuff. He's into his kingdom doing well, his people doing well. His gospel is the good news about you can do well.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Not only that, in Romans 15, verse 33, he called himself by the Spirit the God of peace.
Yes.
What's peace mean? What's peace mean in the New Testament in the Greek? By implication, it means
prosperity.
So God of peace, God of, no, that couldn't be right. That couldn't be. Prosperity, bad. Prosperity, bad. Prosperity, bad. Prosperity, preachers, bad. Prosperity, gospel, bad. Bad, bad, bad. The devil, one of his main telltale things is he wants to get Christians calling good stuff bad and bad stuff good. Do you not see that? He wants you to call prosperity bad when Jesus said, I came to be punished so you could prosper.
Yes.
My gospel's the gospel of prosperity. I'm a God of prosperity. My government's going to increase in prosperity, and this is the Prince of Prosperity. You ought to thank God every night Jesus is the Prince of Prosperity. And if you don't believe in doing well, then start doing bad. Start struggling. Start suffering. Start it. Somebody said, I don't believe. Why don't you do it? I don't believe in that. I believe in doing well. I believe that's why Jesus was punished. So we could do well for eternity. For eternity. Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
Friend, I hope and believe that that teaching ministered to you today. You know, it's an exciting reality to know and believe that God is highly interested in you and I doing well. Praise the Lord. Hey, we got a free offer going on right now at the ministry for our book, Victory in Troubled Times, and I would like to send this to you at no charge. Now, in this book, I'll give you 5 keys from the Word of God that will help you overcome any challenge that you face in your life. Friend, we've been getting some powerful testimonies about this book, and I know that it will be a blessing to you. And with that, we'll also throw in a free copy of our mini book called Faith Declarations. And in this book, you will find declarations of faith from the Word of God that you can speak over your life. And friend, we know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I believe as you speak the word of God over these situations, you will enjoy the victory that God wants you to enjoy. So we're going to send both of these books to you free, no charge. Just follow the prompts below and we will get them in the mail and they will be a blessing to you.
Today's broadcast was made possible by the partners of Matthew Alaria Ministries. Go to mam.tv to become a partner today and help us take the message of faith to this generation.